Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please? 2 Corinthians 9, 6, please. Is everybody there? 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Let's speak this together. But this I say, he who, what? Sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, hallelujah. A cheerful giver. And in this, there is that law. He says, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow abundantly. Now, Galatians chapter 6, I want to continue with this, and the sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6. So there's something about this sowing reapingly, sowing sparingly. There's something about sowing sparingly and sowing abundantly, because what you sow is what you reap, good and bad. You know, good and what? Bad. In Galatians 6, what does it say in verse 7? Do not be what? Don't be what? Deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while what? Doing good. In other words, let us not grow weary while we are sowing righteousness. Amen? While we're sowing in the Spirit. Let us not grow weary. For in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. I'm going to tell you something that many people quit before it's manifested. See, they've been sowing, and then they quit because they expect God to move according to what they just did. God moves on his time. He moves in his way and not ours. Our responsibility is to continue. Be consistent in everything that we do. So many times the enemy deceives individuals and says, you know, it's just not happening the way I think it should happen. Maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe all the maybes. That's the enemy speaking to you. What's he trying to do? Bring doubt. God doesn't promote doubt, I want you to know. He promotes faith. And in faith, he gives vision. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 8, and we've heard this multiple times. Would you read it with me? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be what? Be sober. Be what? Vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the what? In the what? In the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So, by knowing that the enemy is seeking whom he can devour, there's something that you and I must be. We must be in the Spirit, because faith is able to see spiritually. Seeing spiritually is vital. You cannot see spiritually unless you're in the Spirit. Has everybody got it? That means that there's a necessity of being in God's presence, isn't there? So, and it says that we are to be sober and vigilant. In other words, we're to be alert. And being alert in this, that means you are detailed. Too many times we ignore the little things. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. It's called the little things. It's the little things that'll kill you, and it's the little things that will bless you. The little things. The little things. So we need to be consistent, thorough, or complete to see things as they are in both realms. Too many times we only look at the one realm, but not the both realms. People are caught up in the natural realm, and they just look at the natural realm. And some people are caught up in the spiritual realm, but not looking the connection in the natural realm. And we're to be looking in both realms, because those little things is what seems to pass by people. They seem to ignore. But those little things are what can harm you, or they begin to build. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, everyone say, the little things. First Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody there? And verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5, 6. Your glorying is not good. Is everybody there? Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Now, again, I want to share that it's important that we begin to realize about the little things. It says, therefore, verse 8, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, it expands. It's the little things that can, again, cause us the biggest problems. And it's the little things that can be causing the greatest blessings. But if they are ignored, we stumble over them. This is a time in our life, in the time of this season that we are right now, is to be looking in the arena of detail, not looking in the area of... See, so many times you may drive down a building or drive down a road, and you see this big building, it's got all these colors, but you don't realize the front door is missing. Or if you've ever walked somewhere and you're busy looking around and you're looking at, and all of a sudden you step in a hole. Boom. Ah. Because we were ignoring. It's the little things. It's the little things that hide that causes some of the most destructive things in our life. And sometimes it's the little things that God gives us that we ignore because we think sometimes it's too little. Well, I wanted something more. Which, if we hold on to that little, you know, one of the things that the Lord always shared with me, he says, use what you have and I'll give you more. And believe me, I use as much as I have. When we began to expand homes, we went all the way to the inches. In fact, they told me on one of our house, we had to cut off 6 inches because I overexpanded. But again, if we use what we have, God will give us more. One of the things he checks us on is in the areas, are we sensitive enough? Are we sober enough? Are we alert enough to see detail? Are we walking in the faith so that we can actually see spiritually the little things? See, when you're able to see the little things, you know about things that are coming. See, when people are too focused on the larger things and never see the little things, they don't see what's coming. And then wham! Oh! I was taken by surprise. Why were we taken by surprise? Because we didn't see the little thing. Amen? Has everybody got it? James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may what? Obey us. And we turn their whole body. Look at ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very what? Small or little rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is like a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. That little thing that we need, it blows bubbles, speaks in another language, it blesses, it curses. That's all the enemy's trying to do, is get you to agree so you can speak his language. And when you speak his language, you become contaminated. Just that little thing. See, it's something that people don't even recognize all the time. They don't monitor their mouth. It's the little things, isn't it? Just the little things that can really start to build up and turn against us. Or the little things of God that he gives us that can grow and prosper. In chapter 1 in James, in verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. So what about the man who doesn't endure temptation? Cursed! For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Again, I want to share with you that God doesn't tempt anyone. Does everybody understand that? But the Lord does see when you are tempted by the enemy, doesn't he? So he wants to know what you're going to do. When you pass the temptation test, see, this is causing approval. One of the tests that comes across our path all the time is that little temptation, that little compromise, that little complacency. It says, let no one's... Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The little things, that little desire. Verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, when what's been conceived? Desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. But it started at something little, and the end result was what? Death. Does everybody get this? It's the little things. So temptation, little temptation can grow if it is not acknowledged. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, 1 Timothy 4, 7. 1 Timothy 4. Yeah, it's 1 Timothy. I was in 1 Peter. I like that one too, though. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 sounds good. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward what? Godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. In other words, bodily exercise really doesn't profit you spiritually. You know, it may help you stay strong enough so you can make it to church. Amen? Or that you may go out and outreach, you know. Hallelujah. It may make you feel better to get going. I mean, we want to be healthy. And sometimes it just takes a little bit because it's motion, isn't it? And I believe that everyone needs to at least have some kind of exercise in one way or another. I don't care if you'll go up and down the ladder 15 times a day. That's good exercise. Hallelujah. So bodily exercise really profits little in the spiritual, but will make you stronger in the physical, won't it? Amen. So again, even that little bit, sometimes if you're an individual that has not worked out in a while or done any exercise, man, you may get on a bicycle or you may walk down the road and huff and puff and be like, oh my God, I don't know if I can make this. But if you do a little bit at a time, a little bit of time, you find it, you begin, your momentum picks up, you begin to endure more. See, because we're not neglecting that little bit, that little thing. Amen? See, it's when we neglect that little thing, when we ignore that little thing. Again, you could have, you could be sweeping and decide to just put it in a little pile, and finally you put it underneath the rug. Hello? You didn't have the dustpan or whatever it is, and that little pile will begin to build, just like anything else. Everything begins to build, and it's either going to build for you or against you, because we cannot ignore the little things. Amen? Praise God. And Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. The little things. You know, it always takes something to build on something. Amen? It doesn't. You can't build on nothing. So there's always got to be some sort of start of something little. When somebody sows a seed, it could be a small seed or a small amount. And then the next, you know, it begins to increase depending on and how what kind of soil it's placed in. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 15, would you read it with me? And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mana, or money, has earned 10. And he said to him, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful with a very little. You were faithful with a what? Very little. Again, it's the little things. Just the little things that are ignored, the little things that are kicked aside, the little things that can come against you or work for you. And because you are faithful with the little, the very little, you have authority over what? 10 cities. Again, one of the things that God does is, if you're not faithful, it even talks about, you know, when you're faithful with God's money, let me give you an example. You're faithful with the Lord's money. First of all, we have to acknowledge that it's the Lord's money and not ours. Every time I grab money, I thank the Lord automatically. Lord, thank you. What do you want me to do with this money? Because it's his money, not mine. Everything is his and everything that we should be doing. See, so if you're faithful with that little bit, in other words, and faithful with that little bit means this. You've collected money, right? Well, you know you got bills to pay. So you make sure you take care of the things that God has given you the money for. But of course, you know you first tithe. It's amazing on how many people get themselves in the hole because they're not faithful with the little, because they don't see it all the way through. They don't see it all the way through. First of all, then they're not in the spirit. See, so many times people, their hands touch money and it's, I want. It's looking self. Remember, what you do for you dies with you. What you do for the kingdom continues. Amen? Now again, there's nothing wrong with buying clothes when you need it and so forth and whatever. But there's that area where God wants to know. And he wants us to prosper. He wants the world to see us as prosperous in the kingdom. There's nothing wrong with that. But I can tell you, if you're not faithful with that little, if you can't use that little that God has given you and use it wisely, you will not get what you're busting your butt for to try and collect money to do whatever. You won't get it. Why? Because the enemy will constantly steal it. Because if you don't know priorities, if you don't know divine order, if you can't hold on to those things of little, the little things, God will never give you more. You'll have to go out and try and get it all yourself. And then you know what happens? Then people worry and fear about losing it. Then they work so hard to try and keep it. And they become greedy. But when it's done by the Lord, he protects it. See, when you're doing according to God's way, it's protected. But when you do it according to your way, it's not. So this is where you and I must always be in that place of, it's the little things. It's that little thing, that little amount of money that you got for this, what are you going to do with it? It's the little things. Has everybody got this? Praise God. Let's go a little further. So if you're unfaithful with the little amount, are you going to expect more? No way. It just doesn't work that way. In 1 Kings chapter 17, one of the things the enemy tries to constantly do is he attempts to get us into a place where we overlook the little, always overlooking it. How about a little common sense? Sometimes certain things just take a little common sense, man. 1 Kings 17. Believe me, a little common sense will really help you. Verse 12. Now, let's see. 1 Kings 17. Now, Elijah, there was a famine going on, and so Elijah was told by the Lord to go see this woman. And I'm going to start at verse 11. And one of the things he asked her to do was to make her a little cake. Hallelujah. And in verse 11, it says, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Because there was a famine. So her whole focus now, you know, here Elijah shows up and says, can I have some piece of bread? And she's like, wait a minute. We're going to go make our last meal right now. Remember, it was just a piece of bread, a crumb of bread, right? And so she tells Elijah all of this stuff, and like she's going to make her last meal for her and her son, just that little bit. Now Elijah turns around and does something great. He says to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake. So he just increased it, didn't he? Somebody got this. So what is he trying to do? Draw more from her. So he's drawing more from her, but it's still just a small cake. And from it first, he says, go get it. Make me a small cake first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. In other words, then the rest is yours. That's all he's wanting was something small. It was the little thing. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. Then the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Look at it was that faithful with the little. Does everybody understand that? It was the little thing that caused everything to overflow. It was unlimited. It was not going to stop. Why? She was faithful with that little. Why? Because she was obedient. She did it according to God's divine order. That's why God sent her there. She could have tried to speak over it and tried to figure it out herself, but it wasn't going to work. It had to be done according to divine order of the Lord, take the little thing and do what I tell you to do with it, and then I'll replenish it. In fact, it won't stop overflowing. Just a small cake. See, there's no shortcuts, is there? There's no drive-throughs. Go to 18, chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. In verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now there was a famine. In verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. And then it came to pass that the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand. Man, how do you see a cloud as small as a man's hand? You know, I was like, whoa. And he said it was rising out of the sea. This is faith, brothers and sisters. Spiritual sight. He saw a small cloud the size of a hand coming out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. It was just that small thing. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with the clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Again, it was a small cloud. It was a little thing. Again, it was a little cake. Every time in our walk of life in the kingdom, there's a lot of little things that we just ignore. We just seem to push them aside and not be detailed enough about it. In Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. In verse 26, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the words of them as they were able to hear it. In other words, the Bible says about your faith being the size of a mustard seed. He said that you could move mountains. Again, so many times we ignore the little things because we grow weary. People grow weary in prayer. They're not consistent. It's a little piece of paper that you have that you can pray. We have a booklet. But because things are not going according to my plan, this little thing that I'm not cooperating with, become weary and then go off course. Does everybody understand that? It's the little thing that can put you on course. It can promote you. Let me tell you, when you're in God's divine order and he gives you those little things that is to increase, it is to prosper you. But so many times these little things that come across our path, we just ignore. And we must become more diligent, more alert, more visual in the spirit. In Zechariah 4. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? In verse 8, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's speak it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Everyone read verse 10. For who has despised the day of what? Small things. Don't despise them. For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, don't despise small things or even small beginnings, but recognize them. Recognize them. We should be able to discern whether that small thing is from God or from the devil. Amen? Amen. In Proverbs 6. You know when that small thing of irritation comes? Don't let it multiply. Hello? That little thing of fear? We know it's there. We sense it. offense, a little bitty piece of offense, we know it's there. So we can either water it and let it grow, and it turns around and kicks us, beats us, or we can acknowledge it and put it out. Remember, that little leaven leavens a whole lump. And Proverbs 6 and verse 6, would you read it with me? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard, when you will rise from your sleep? A what? Little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Let me tell you, when you are a sluggard according to the things of God, when you are not taking the little things serious that God has given you, and you become a sluggard, God looks at us as sluggards. Oh, we might be busy in everything else except for the thing that God's given us. And he says, you're a sluggard. And this poverty that he's talking about is not only, it could be physical, but it's spiritual poverty. And that's worse than anything. Amen? Proverbs 1. You know, again, many times, even when you're at your job or doing whatever, or, you know, if you're not faithful with a little, you can't expect more. You just can't do that. I get calls from all kinds of people wanting all kinds of things. Well, you know, this and this. Well, you know what? Show your face up here, and we'll talk about it. Get your butt in God's presence, and then we can talk. I get people that call wanting to volunteer for all kinds of stuff. No. Why? Because the Bible says, know who you labor with. Amen? You got to know who you labor with. And verse 32. Let's read it together. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Whoa. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Again, I can't express enough the area of, it's the little things that God judges me and you on more than the big things. Let me give you a little thing. You're by yourself. What do you do when you're by yourself? You know, there's a lot of people that do some strange things by themselves. They get on pornography. They do other things. They try to make contacts. They begin hunters for the opposite sex. What do they do behind closed doors? You know, the word tells us about associations bring impartations. Just a little. I've seen people fall and go out of place because of a contact with an old friend that they weren't supposed to. You know, if a person is truly before the Lord, they're going to take the word exactly what it says, aren't they? If there's a brother that's unruly, what do they say? It says, look it, go to them. To go to them, they're not willing to do it, then let them go. That's it. Let them go. Why? Because you're interfering with God. Sometimes somebody has to eat dirt, and the quicker they eat it, the quicker they get up. Because, see, the devil convinces that person that is unruly or out of order, because somebody who's right with God is fellowshipping with that person. That person is saying, I must be okay. Do you see how the devil deceives that person? So there really isn't a conviction of being out of order. That person doesn't even know that he's actually promoting that person's disorder. Just that little, the little thing. Is everybody all right? So we got sluggard, complacency. All of these things can lead from just the little thing. You know, once you've done one little thing, it will build to many. In 1 Corinthians 6. Now, some people take something that's little and freak out. My daughter freaks out on a little bug. Wah! It's like a gorilla just entered the kitchen or something. some people freak out on the littlest things. Or they exaggerate. You know, just something little happened. And then, wah! 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's read it together. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Yeah, let's do it. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Many times we don't judge the smallest matters. Oh, that's not bad. It's okay. We'll keep going. It doesn't mean we judge the person, but we judge the matter. Why? Because you're judging it to protect you and others. You're judging it to know where the person is. I get a lot of people that always say, oh, yeah, I'm a believer, and then and all this stuff. And there's those certain little things called fruit that lets me know that that person is not in divine order, out of order. How they handle things, what's going on in their life. Are they faithful with the things of God? You and I will judge the smallest matters. In verse 3 it says, don't you know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Hallelujah. In Revelation 3, everybody say the little things. Everyone say, I'm not going to ignore the little things anymore. Now, I know that some things are just a small matter. Amen? It's a small matter. So you don't freak out over it, but you don't ignore the matter. It's like somebody who knows that they got a slow leak in their tire. And they're, yeah, I'll get to it. It's just a little thing until they come out of the store and their tire is flat. And they're going, oh, man, I wish I would have taken care of that. It was just a little matter. It wasn't a big thing in the beginning. Hello? Man, I was driving on fumes for a few days. I was on E. And I go, man, I'm going to get that. I got to get gas. Okay, my phone rings. Then all of a sudden, I end up back in my driveway. I'm like, man, I got to get. And it went to her, I'm telling you, 3 days. I was on fumes. And it was that little matter I needed to get. So I was coming home from tennis, and somebody was with me, and I said, we better pray to make sure. I was like, man, we better do something here. You know? He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, are you real tired? He says, what do you mean? I said, well, we may get a little bit more exercise. Because he had to call his wife to make sure that she was still there. I said, well, we may be a little delayed if we don't take care of this little thing. But we made it all the way home, and I took care of it this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to close at Revelation 3. It's the little things. In verse 7, would you read it with me, please? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have what? Little strength. But that little strength was pleasing to God. Why? They used it. Look at, he says, you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Why? Because you have kept my commandment to persevere. See, that little strength that they had allowed them to persevere, and God acknowledged them. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who are on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See, many people right now are ignoring the little things, some of the little things that's going on in our world, in our country, in our government. Some of the little things that they don't even realize, that much of the population is in poverty. Eventually, what their purpose is to remove a middle class. It'll be nothing but poor or wealthy. See, people are not acknowledging the little things. They're not acknowledging the little warnings, just the little warnings. So I encourage everyone, we are in a time and season where we can't just ignore the little things. We must acknowledge them and then know what to do with them. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb and let it grow for your glory. And quicken us, Father, to those little things that we have a tendency to ignore, walk by, or pass it on to someone else. Let us, Father, see those things all the way through. Hear those things all the way through. And let us not become sluggards, complacent, or compromising in that little thing. But let us grow and bear fruit for your glory, that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.